Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
What are you preparing for? I mean, you're doing things today to prepare for tomorrow. You may not even know that you're doing it, but most of you are doing something so that you can have food tomorrow, so that you can do this. You know, summer's coming up. Some of you are preparing for a vacation. Some of you are preparing for new jobs, new stuff. You have no idea, but there's stuff that we are preparing for. You may have heard this statement. I didn't grow up necessarily in a military family, but I think it originated in the military. Prior proper planning prevents poor performance. Anybody ever heard that? Some of you are just had PTSD from a parent that was like drilled that into your head. But the truth is, if we think through, most of us, this is not a judgment, so if you're the planner and you know everything that's coming in the next 6 months, that's great. But most of us, life is just happening. We're not planning a lot. We're coming into scenarios that we're completely unprepared for because we're just like, oh, it'll be all right. And I'm a little bit like that. Some areas of my life, I'm very focused and very intentional. I have lots of lists, as we talk about a lot, and I do things. But some things, it's just like, oh, God is good, and he's going to make it happen. And today's text, I think, is going to change that a little bit for us. Our active, ongoing relationship with Jesus prepares us for what's coming our way. Doesn't make it go away, doesn't lessen potentially what's going to happen, but it prepares us for what is coming. Because life is happening whether you're planning or not. It's tomorrow will be here, regardless of what you do today. Regardless of what you're thinking, planning today, tomorrow is going to come, and we need to be ready for it. Today's text, you read out of Luke 22, maybe yesterday. I'm a day ahead of you guys in the one-year Bible because of daggone leap year this year just ruined it. They fixed something. I did go in, and they do have some reading on the last day of the year, so I think they've realized what happened, and they're like, we must fix that. I don't know where they're going to get that from, but you did read it in Luke 28. It's actually recorded, I think, in all four of the Gospels, but I'm going to teach it out of Matthew 26 just because there's a couple phrases in there that I really like. See, the world of the disciples is coming crumbling down, and Jesus is going to take a moment right before this to pray, and he invites his core, his favorites, with him to come watch and pray. That's a phrase that we're going to talk about today. That's actually the title of my sermon today. Why is it so important? In the last moments that he had with his disciples, he chose to take this in preparation because he had one more lesson for them. And I think this lesson that they learned through this moment changed them, not completely because they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. The Holy Spirit was the additive that made them capable to do what God was preparing them for. In these words, Jesus is still speaking to his disciples today. We just need to figure out if we're listening to them. So let's prepare for the word through prayer. Lord, these words are just words on a paper. Unless we have the understanding that they're your words. If we're not careful, we'll listen to them and say, that's good and it sounds great, but Lord, the Word of God has its authority in you. So Lord, we want to come to this Word today with open hearts and with open minds to hear what you have to say to us. And Lord, this text shows us how willing you are to show your love for us. How willing you are to be obedient to the call of the Father. And Lord, I pray that out of these 10 verses that we read today, Lord, that you would bring transformation to us. Lord, that we would be a people that desire to be prepared for what's coming tomorrow. And if that preparation excludes you, we're in trouble. So, Lord, today I pray that you would speak, I pray that you would encourage, and I pray that you would force us to look ahead, force us to prepare for the things that are coming our way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, you read this out of Luke 22, verses 39 through 46. I'm going to teach it the same thing out of Matthew 26, verse 36 through 46. That's where we're going to be in just a second. Jesus has done everything that he could to prepare his disciples for what's coming. He's been telling them that it's coming. He's been telling them the cross is coming. He's been telling them that there will be a moment where he will die. There will be 3 days later that he comes back. But he's done everything that he could. He's shown them. He's taught them. He's been with them for 3 years. And in these last moments, he heads to one of his favorite spots, so much so that Judas, when he went to betray him, knew exactly where Jesus would be in this moment, because this is a place that Jesus frequented. I believe today's text is going to show us one of the greatest gifts that we get to see, which is the humanity of Jesus. If we're not careful, we'll just look at, like, of course, Jesus, being part of the Trinity, knew exactly what was coming, and it was nothing to him to experience the wrath of the Father. It was nothing for him to carry the weight of the sin of the world, because he is who he is. But this text shows us that it wasn't just like, okay, like, I'm going to do today's task. I'm going to brush my teeth. Like, okay, here we go. This is the thing that I'm going to do. This was a moment for him that he was going to understand what was coming his way and still choose to be obedient to the Father. And he knows what's coming, and he tells his favorites, Peter, James, and John, to watch and pray, because darkness is coming. So we're going to pick this up, Matthew 26, starting in verse 36. The text is going to be on the screen behind me. Verse 36, it says, "Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there and to pray.'" So he walks with the 11 because Judas is left to go betray Jesus. He's gathering the rabble to come collect Jesus to take him to this trial that's going to lead to his crucifixion. So he's left with 11 of his disciples. And he takes all 11 of them up to this place to pray. But then he leaves. Let's see if I can do the math on the fly. Eight of them there saying, "Hey, wait here." He goes a little bit further, and he takes three with him, his favorites. And he takes them to this piece in preparation. Jesus had just celebrated Passover, which is, we've talked about this in the last couple of weeks as we've gone through Resurrection Sunday, as we've talked about this idea of Easter, that Jesus went to this place, that he was going to become the last Passover lamb. They had been celebrating this for generations of, this is what needs to happen for God to pass over our sins, the blood of the lamb. And Jesus was going to become that last sacrifice. He had also instituted the Lord's Supper with his disciples. He started this as a reminder for what he was going to do for them. He's already just told Peter that he was going to deny him. He actually says this, that you never want God to speak these words to you. Luke 22, verse 31, it says, "Simon, Simon," this is Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you." I hope you said no. Right? Right, Lord? You said no? "That he might sift you like wheat." So when we don't do this, because you go to the grocery store and get your bread, and every time I talk about something that I'm not familiar with, I'm afraid that I'm going to totally mess it up. So if you're like the wheat, you know, make your own bread, grind it, I'm sorry if I'm going to get this wrong. But they put this thing in here, and they would put it up and down in the air. And so the air, the lighter stuff, the stuff that they didn't want, the non-seed, would be caught by the wind and taken away, and he'd be left with what they wanted here. And he's saying, hey, Peter, no big deal. This is what Satan wants to do with you. He just wants to, you know, he wants to shake you out and get rid of the stuff. That doesn't sound pleasant. He says, and he didn't say, but I told Satan, no, that you're one of my favorites and he can't have you, nor can he mess with you. No, it's not at all what he says. I mean, if you look on the screen, it says, but I have prayed for you. Come on, Lord. Like, a little bit more, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, so it's like basically you're going to fail, but when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus was telling Peter, even more so than what he's getting ready to talk to right here, is that you better get ready because it is coming. There is a season that is coming for every single person in this room that you will be tried from the tribulation of life, and you will decide, will I trust in Jesus or will I try to handle it, manage it myself? In verse 37, it says, In taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, the sons of thunder. Y'all remember the guys that got mad because a town rejected Jesus, and he was like, call down fire. Do you want us to call down fire on the... My southern accent came out real big right then. I am from the south. Do you want us to call down fire on this town and destroy it? These are the sons. These are the ones he brings with him. So he takes his A squad with him, knowing they're not gonna let me down. Maybe some of these other eight that I left back there, they're going to not do what I've told them to do, but not these guys. In verse 38, it says, Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful. So he's telling them, even to death, this is how much strain and stress that he's experiencing. Remain here and watch with me. The word translated watch means to have an alertness of a guard at night. A night watchman must be even more vigilant. Diligent Hope is a great ministry you should check out downtown. Then a daytime guard. In the daytime, danger can be often spotted from a distance, but at night, everything is different. The night watchman must use his senses other than sight to detect danger. Like, you know, you can't be half in this as a night watchman, partly because during the day, there's other people that are out watching. The number of people watching is reduced. There's no indications of the enemy's attack because you cannot see them from far off until it happens, so that you must be hyper-vigilant, suspecting it at any moment. That is the type of watching Jesus spoke about. He's telling them, hey, guys, you know, this isn't like, hey, stay awake and, you know, kind of play on your phone and, you know, and just be around in case I need you. This is be diligent, be watchful, and prepare. For those that are reading along with us in the one-year Bible, you've seen a great example on how Gideon used this to his advantage. So if you're reading along with us in the one-year Bible, if you don't have one of those and you like one, they're free on the front table. You can grab one on your way out. But Gideon, a whole funny story. I love the story of Gideon. Oh, you know, the angel comes to him while he's hiding. Actually, funny story, he's doing wheat in a wine press, which is not where you do wheat, because he's hiding from the people that come and steal everything that they have. And the angel comes to him and says, oh, mighty man. And it doesn't feel like a mighty man. And so God does all these amazing things. It takes 30,000 warriors down to 300 against 120,000 people. How would you like to be the 300 that are left? Like, oh, we're going to take these jokers. I've been working for this my whole life. I'm ready. No. But you know what they did? God allowed Gideon. He said, hey, come down to their camp and just listen. And so one of them had a vision at night, had a dream that this is what's going to happen, that, you know, this man, the God and Gideon was going to wipe the floor with them. And so he goes and gets his 300 guys, and what do? They attack at night. 300, 120,000. Could you imagine 120,000 people camped? And you got 300 guys, it would basically, you would barely cover the circumference of their camp with the 300. But they go there, they make noise, they break pots, and they have light. And because of it being dark, and they can't, if they did it during the day, they'd have been like, okay, just go kill them. But the fear of it overwhelmed them. And now, of course, it was the Lord. They actually turned on themselves. But funny story, that's what this was like, that we've got to be diligent at night because in the darkness, and I'm not talking about, okay, guys, let's prepare for the times of night, which can be scary in the dark, but I'm talking about in our world that we exist right now. We can be in this room outside during the middle of the day and be in darkness. We have to be diligent. 1 Peter 5:8 says this. It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion seeking someone to devour. The enemy is looking for an opportunity to destroy you. That's his plan. And what the text is telling us today is that we need to be watchful. Just like when Jesus said, I will pray for you, Peter, he was not going to just free him from this moment that is happening. He was going to have to go through it. In verse 39, and going a little further, he fell on his face, Jesus, and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So he tells his three guys, he said, just watch and pray. Stay with me. I'm sorrowful to the point of death. Jesus walks a little way off, and he's crying out to the Father, if there's any other way to remove this cup. And you're like, what? Well, the cup of suffering. Paul actually talks about later, he's like, he's been poured out like a drink offering, this weight that Jesus has never experienced, this separation that he's going to experience on the cross, the suffering that he's going to experience. See, the humanity of Jesus is front and center here. He has never tasted this cup before. He's never experienced to any extent what we experience here, because he had lived rightly before the Father, remained connecting. He was abiding with the Father. He was secure in the Father. See, the weight of the world's sins and the sufferings that comes from the justice of a good and holy God was going to be poured out on the cross. This is why we can't play with sin. This is why we can't be friends with it. This is why we cannot allow it to live with us. And I say this all the time, all the time. Sin is not your friend. And I'm talking about the ones that you think you're managing well, but you're not. Those ones that you think you're managing well will be the ones that will destroy you. Sin in every case of your life is working its way to separate you from your connection to the Father. It's trying to whisper in your ear that you don't need him. You don't need to listen to this. This is old. That, you know, like, you know better. Let me just tell you, we don't know better. I don't know better. Every time Heath tries to decide what Heath should do, Heath gets in trouble. Because I'm not as wise as I think I am. I have to be connected to something greater than me. Jesus went to the cross so that we could be free from it. Prior to our faith and commitment to Jesus, we did not have the capacity to free ourselves from sin, which we still don't, but we have the ability to fight in and through Jesus. That freedom will come only as we prepare and abide in the love of the Father. Listen to this in John 15, verse 5. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is the truth for every single person in this room. If we are connected to the Father, he is the vine. The vine is the one that gets the nutrients. It's the one that feeds the branches. And we as a branch cannot remain on our own. And we, regardless of how much we plug ourselves into other soil, it will not produce the fruit. We can do nothing outside of that connection. Verse 40. And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Remember, Peter, earlier when Jesus said, you're all going to leave me. When this goes down, you're all going to run away. And Peter's like, if I have to die with you, I will die. And the man that said that couldn't stay awake when his Lord. Remember, Peter is the one that says, when Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" He says that you are the Christ, the Messiah. This is what Peter, out of his own mouth. So he knows that he is the Christ and the Messiah. When he says that I'm burdened unto death, can you stay and watch and pray with me? He goes to sleep. In verse 41, he tells them again, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation." And really, this is the why I chose Matthew over Luke. I love this line. "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Prayer is an open acknowledgement that you're weak. Every day, every time you pray, if you pray correctly, it's an open acknowledgement that you cannot. Because why would you pray? Why would you have a conversation with the Father for things that are going on that you think that he cannot help you with? Or if you thought that you could handle it, manage it, why would you ask the Father for something that you know that tomorrow I can go out and do and get and whatever? Prayer is an open acknowledgement that we're weak. We need Jesus because of the fact that our flesh is weak. See, we have to learn to watch and pray because we connect with the Father there and we get to know our weaknesses. We get to know, just like Peter, where we're struggling at. See, prayer is our preparation. I'm going to change one word in the line that I gave you earlier from the military. Prior, proper, prayer prevents poor performance. Our connection to prayer and our connection to the Father must be maintained because we're a people that forget. I say this all the time. If you're not moving forward in your relationship with God, you're going in the wrong direction. You're sliding into other places. If you're not in His Word, if you're not talking to Him, if you're not learning things about Him, you're going to begin to trust in yourself. Prayer builds our trust in the Father. He has you. One of the things I've been doing this whole year, and I wish I could say it gotten more easy. One of the things that I do in the morning, I call it my morning declaration. I get up and I just get on my face before the Lord, and I just say, "Hey, Son of the Living God, what do you want from me today?" I want to start off my day acknowledging that this His input on my life is important. And then I pray through the Lord's Prayer, and then I go through these list of things that I ask Him to trust you with, is what I say. My children are always on it because I don't always trust God with my children. I try to manage them. I try to do the things that I know that I can't do. I want to be, and this sounds weird, but I want to be their Savior. I want to lead them there, and I realize that I don't have the capacity to save my children. I don't have the capacity to make my children follow and be obedient to Jesus. So I'm going to tell Him in the morning, "I trust you with my children. I trust Him with my wife. I trust you with this church. I trust you with next steps. I trust you with all the things that I cannot control." And almost every day I say that, after I say that line, I tell Him that's everything. I'm in trouble when I think I can control things. When I get into even preaching, like I've been doing this for 22 years, it's easy to be like, "Hey, you know, like I do this. I write some things on paper and I get up and say something and I make someone laugh and whatever, blah, blah, blah." It's easy to come in here and be like, "Well, you know, like I got this." And it's dangerous. Because and I say this in my prayer every time I pray before we get into the Word, is I don't have the capacity to change you. Even if I say all the words right, even if I say all the right things, even if I give you all the truths, if the Holy Spirit isn't involved in what's going on right now, you just heard something that you may or may not like. That's it. But if the Holy Spirit is involved and it brings us to the point of going, hey, God, I need you. I need more of you. And that's part of what prayer is. It moves us to this place of going, I can't. See, Peter and James and John couldn't change what was coming. Jesus was not saying, hey, watch and pray so they don't get me. Watch and pray so I don't end up on the cross. He's saying, watch and pray so that you... so you do not enter into temptation. See, I think sometimes we're more interested in trying to change the things that God has to do to us and around us instead of going, God, prepare me for the things that you will bring me in. Because I wish, and I say this a lot, I wish, you know, just like those communion cups that we've got in the back, I wish there was a little piece of something that I could give you that if you took it, it would just like, it would make sense. Your faith, you know, it'd be like if they made a Red Bull that was like for faith, it's like, and you're like, I can walk on water. I would give it to you, but to be completely honest, what God has for you, you won't get the easy way. Read the Bible. No one gets it the easy way. And if you want what God has for you, it won't be easy. And the whole reason for this text today is he's saying, watch and pray, because it's coming. Your next obstacle, your next challenge is coming your way. And when it comes, will you be ready? Or will you, and this is me, because I'm a fearful, anxious person. I know it didn't seem like that. And you're like, oh, he's got it all together. I do not. Ask Jody. I do not. Ask my children. But by the grace of God, I am better today than I was a year ago. And by the grace of God, I'm better today than I was. July will be 30 years that I said yes to Jesus. He would be like, 30 years? You should have it perfect by now. No, I don't. Because that's part of our life, is God's going to bring one thing after the other, and all he's asking for us is faithfulness and trusting him. In verse 42, it says, again, for a second time, so he goes away and he prays. He went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. These 11 verses, if you hear nothing else, is a call from Jesus, the man who loves you, who showed that love for you by going to the cross so that you can be free from the sin that you cannot be free from without him. Not only you can be free from it, but you can be connected to the Father now so that you can live with him now, so that you can have joy and life in abundance now, and you get him for eternity. And the message today is the same words that Jesus, because this is what God's calling every one of us to. Whose will win? Yours or his? Because your will lead you to places that you don't want. And this is why we have to prepare. We have to be watchful. We have to be diligent. In verse 43, and again he came and found them sleeping. You know, okay, Jesus goes away. He comes back and he tells them, could you not? I mean, shamed by Jesus for not praying. Like, we feel guilty for not reading. Like, I'm sure in this room, even now, you're like, I haven't read the Bible in a while. You're like, man, I don't remember last time I prayed for blood. I mean, you're feeling shame. Could you imagine having this to Jesus, the man that you said you would die for, that came and said, hey, I'm sorrowful unto the point of death. Can you just watch and pray? Stay awake. And he comes back and he finds you asleep and he looks at you and he's like, could you not do it for 1 hour? I'm going to go away for just a few minutes. I don't think Jesus disappeared for hours. And he comes back and what are they doing? They're asleep again. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he didn't even wake them up. Like, forget it, and it's not even worth it. It's not even worth it. It's like parents. I think you get it. You're like, I don't know how many times I've told you this. I can't even. So he walks away. He went away and prayed for a third time, saying the same words. Look, three times. Three times. He walked away and said, Father, if there's any other way, take this from me. But not my will, but yours. And then he goes to his disciples and he goes back to the Father. And he's, Father, unless this has to happen, Lord, for the work to be finished, your will, not mine. He goes away and he does the same thing again. Three times he's confronted with the reality of what's getting ready to happen. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? And the only thing that I could possibly compare this to that we can have somewhat of an understanding is, could you imagine your children betraying you? I mean, during World War II and all these crazy things that happened, families turned on families and turned them in. And the only thing that I could imagine is your children who you've given everything for, that you love, that you would give your life for, they spitefully turn you in. And could you imagine Jesus spoke everything into existence? Every person sitting in this room exists because Jesus willed you to exist. Not my words. You're alive today because he chose for you to live. And every one of his creations, while he was being murdered and taunted, they were his children. And his children, not that he came back to just like Jesus came with the belt and I'm gonna whoop him. Like, he came back to show his love and mercy and grace and willingly go into the cross. But could you imagine not only what he was going to experience from the Father, but his children? And one of the things he says going into this, he's like, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Verse 45. And he came to his disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go, see, my betrayer is at hand. The preparing time is now over. The trial is here. And this is what my intention for today's message is. Your trial is coming. Some health diagnosis in the future, some loved one that unexpectedly dies, some loss of something is coming your way. And the voice of the Father today is saying, prepare with me. Because when you prepare with me, not that it'll make it go away, but you'll be ready for it. You'll be willing to still trust in the Father. You do not prepare for what's next when it gets here. You prepare now. The same thing with Daniel. When Daniel got thrown into the lion's den, he didn't begin his faithful journey to the Father as he's getting tossed into the lion's den. This is who he was. You don't know what lion's den you're going to get thrown into. You don't know what's going to happen, but we can, and we're being called to, through the text today, to watch and pray. So what does preparation look like? There are great books out there that talk about spiritual disciplines that I would encourage you to get into and to dig into. But here's the simple of it. Preparing looks like getting in His Word daily. One of the reasons why we talk about it so much up here, why I mentioned earlier and we give away Bibles and the one-year Bible, is because if your hope is to walk in here on a Sunday and hear me speak for 40 minutes and get all the Bible that you need that's going to help you through the week, you're in trouble. You're not going to eat just today. I mean, you're not going to go and have a big lunch today and be like, I don't need anything else until next Sunday. Try it. That same hunger that you feel on Monday, about 12 hours later, that's the hunger that we need, because that food that fuels our body, that keeps us alive, is secondary to the connection that we need to the Father, because we can be absent of food, but we can't be absent our connection to the Father. That's where we need this hunger for. And one of the reasons why we talk about being in the one-year Bible and reading the Bible. And let me just tell you, the one-year Bible is not going to fix you. If you think I'm going to read the one-year Bible every day and I'm going to be perfect, you're wrong. Because half of it, you're going to read and you'll be like, I don't know what the heck's going on. Through the Old Testament, we've been through some stuff. We're going to get into some stuff. Like, it's coming. Like, we don't know. You're going to be like, Heath, I read this today. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to be like, I don't know either. Like, some of it, I'm just like, I mean, there's stuff in there. Every time I read it, I'm like, for all you bald guys in the room, like, there's a prophet that gets picked on for being bald, and you know what happens? Bears come and kill these teens. It's going to happen. You will read it if you're in the one-year Bible. It'll be like, yeah, say something about me again, buddy. All you bald guys will be like, yeah, they deserve it. They're getting it. You'll be like, quote of the day. And you're going to read things. You're going to be like, what's going on? And I'm not trying to explain that right now, but there's things that are going to be in there. And the reason why, in John 17, which we're going to get into John, we're, you know, a couple chapters away before we get into John in the one-year Bible, so you'll be reading it real soon. John 15, 16, 17 are great chapters, but John 17, he talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit. He said, it's to your benefit that I go away. Could you imagine sitting there with the guy that you followed for 3 years, you've given your life to, and you're like, man, I just want to be near him. I want to be with him. He's the only one, or they're the only ones that didn't desert him other until the very last moment. And could you imagine him teaching and say, it's your benefit that I leave so the Holy Spirit comes? Because the Holy Spirit, and for those that are like, oh, is this one of those messages where we're going to talk about that thing that I don't want to talk about? I don't understand it. Without the Holy Spirit, you don't get anything. Because he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't read this word and be instructed by it. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't walk around. We can't trust ourselves. This is the connection. So we need to be in the Word daily with the Holy Spirit. We need to pray daily. Like, if you're preparing for something, maybe some of you in here are training for something, you take serious a training plan. You take serious these things that I need to do A, B, and C because I want this outcome. See, the outcome that we're talking about here at Reach, hopefully every Sunday, is an outcome of our connection with the Father. We need to take more serious this. You need to pray daily because praying. And there's great books. Ask me after church. I'll recommend a couple that I read in the last year that are great. A Praying Life, one of them, totally recommend. Paul E. Miller is the guy who wrote it. Like, we need to be thinking about how we connect to the Father. And prayer opens that for us. Another thing that we need to do daily is choosing the Father's will in the day-to-day small things. How are you going to be faithful in the big thing when it comes your way? Is being faithful in the little. He who's faithful in the small will be faithful in the big. Faith and trust is a muscle that must be trained. It is not something that we give up on, and I just want to challenge people. One of the longevity things, and I'm going to tie fitness in here, one of the statistical data for longevity and health is the maintaining of muscle mass. Maintaining muscle mass is a predictor for longevity, how well you're doing. And I'm not saying, hey, everybody go get a membership at Muscle Max or 24 Fit and start pumping iron. But, like, that's the thought. If we're going to grow old gracefully, you know, we have to continue to work these things. And our spiritual muscle is no different. If we're going to use faith and use trust, it must be something that we exercise in. So I want to go back to the question that we started before, and I'm going to invite our worship team back up. What are you training for? What are you preparing for? What are you wanting next? Because you will get There is a trial and tribulation coming if you're not preparing for it. It will come whether you're ready or not. And the only way that we're going to be ready for what God has for us is our connection to the Father. And here's what I want you to hear, because I think sometimes when I preach stuff, it's like, it sounds like do more. Okay, he's just asking me to read the Bible and to pray and do more because that's going to fix everything. Not necessarily. What's going to fix everything is our connection to the Father. And so if you're not connected to the Father, it doesn't matter how much you pray, it doesn't matter how much you read, it doesn't matter how many spiritual books that you read, it doesn't matter any of that. First and foremost, we have to be connected to the person who gives us the power to walk those things out. And so what I'd like to do as we go into our last song is just to encourage you. Maybe you're in a trial right now and you're like, well, I'm behind. I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. The beauty of it is today, right now, spiritually, we can take a knee before the Father and invite him into this place and say, Dad, I need you. And begin this day in, day out connection to the living source. The devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he wants to do to everyone in this room. He has your number. He wants your destruction. But Jesus came that you would have life and have life abundantly. That's what he wants for you, and that's what he's fighting for here. Let's pray. God, we have no idea what's coming next. We have no idea the trials and tribulations that are coming our way that may be just for us personally, it may be for us as a country, it may be us for a world. And your call is to us as your children to trust you and to begin to prepare that faith and trust. And so, Lord, that starts with our connection with you. So, Lord, I just pray over us in this room that we would stop trusting our will and our discernment, and we would bend our knee to you. Lord, we can either choose to humble ourselves or you will humble us. And, Lord, I just pray for your grace that we today would just be willing to humble ourselves, that we'd be willing to cry out in all the places that we're unsure, all the places where we have anxiety, all the places where fear is living with us. Lord, allow us to just surrender to you. Lord, this text shows your humanity, but your humanity still led you to the cross. Your humanity led us to a place that we had the capacity to be known by the Father and be connected. We are branches that can be grafted into the vine. And so, Lord, I just pray for those in this room that feel separated and isolated and disconnected from you, that you would invite them to be grafted into your presence. Lord, for those in this room that are separated and isolated from you as Father because of things that is their own choosing or things that have happened to them, Lord, I pray as a loving Father that you would begin to whisper in their ear that you are my beloved. Lord, we're desperate and needy, and you're okay with that. And so, Lord, I pray that this moment, Lord, we would just be willing to express that desperation by calling out to you, inviting you in. So, Lord, let us faithfully walk out our life with you. Lord, we trust you. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.